Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. Detailed cross-examination of a police detective won't be the first order of business at today's session of the O.J. Simpson trial. As David Dow reports, the judge and lawyers on both sides still have to settle issues about the Simpson jury.
For the third morning in a row, Judge Lance Ito will convene the Simpson court in private to discuss what are described only as jury matters. At issue is alleged misconduct involving two jurors, though defense lawyer Johnny Cochran minimizes it all, calling the allegations hearsay. With just 9 of 12 alternates remaining and the trial barely underway, the judge isn't rushing to replace jurors, notes CBS News consultant Victor Gold.
He will not replace a juror unless it's unavoidable. It is, by the way, unavoidable if it's demonstrated that one of the jurors prejudged the case.
Which is the allegation facing one juror, though it's not clear whether he expressed his opinion before he was selected for the jury pool. When testimony resumes, Detective Ron Phillips will be back for a third day on the witness stand. After defending the police decision not to summon the coroner to the murder scene until nearly 8 hours after the two bodies were found. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Jury deliberations are set to begin in the trial of Colin Ferguson, accused of killing 6 people and wounding 19 others in the December 1993 Long Island Railroad massacre. In his own closing statement, Ferguson told the jury he was the victim of a police conspiracy and false testimony by the surviving victims. He asked jurors to look at the case in context before returning with a verdict of acquittal.
Not guilty. That would be the most joyful day, I believe. For me and not only for yourselves. Mr. Ferguson is willing to be patient.
Prosecutor George Peck painted a different picture, portraying Ferguson as a craven killer.
What's his motive? The man hates the world, and he asks you to give him sympathy? God, the suffering he caused.
The FBI's most wanted computer hacker faces a bond hearing this morning in Raleigh. Kevin Mitnick is accused of the cyber theft of information worth more than $1 million, including at least 20,000 credit card numbers. Los Angeles Police Chief Willie Williams claims he's the victim of outrageous fabrications made by someone with a grudge. Williams is upset by reports that he may have made too many trips to Las Vegas, accepted free casino accommodations and other perks, and let his wife use a cell phone bill to the department.
To bring my wife into these allegations and attack her and her reputation, I think is beneath the actions of the lowest and most scurrilous individual that I've ever known, and I would do everything possible to learn the source.
The Los Angeles Times identified the source as a retired deputy chief. A hearing is scheduled for today in connection with a board member's lawsuit against NAACP Chairman William Gibson. The suit, aimed at forcing Gibson to release an audit of his expenses, could delay a leadership election scheduled for tomorrow. Merle Evers Williams, who's challenging Gibson for the chairmanship, hopes it won't come to that.
If the election is delayed, it certainly leaves time for more infighting, and it certainly takes away from reviving that voice that is so badly needed in today's society. So I would like to see the vote go ahead on Saturday.
Critics accuse Gibson of using the financially strapped organization's funds for his own benefit. Former NAACP Executive Director Benjamin Hooks has added his voice to those demanding Gibson's resignation, calling him inept. The Justice Department has given the White House more to worry about, undertaking a preliminary criminal investigation into Commerce Secretary Ron Brown's finances. Mark Noller has that.
The start of a preliminary Justice Department investigation darkens the cloud of suspicion already hanging over the Commerce Secretary. All the White House would say is that Attorney General Reno acted as required under the independent counsel law. But for the moment, the action satisfies Republican Senator Locke Faircloth, one of those in Congress who've been calling for a special prosecutor to investigate Ron Brown.
It confirmed that there really was grounds here for an investigation, and now she's made it official.
But Secretary Brown's lawyer, Reid Weingarten, dismisses Attorney General Reno's decision as routine. Nevertheless, he says Brown will cooperate with the investigation and is confident he can show he has not violated the law and that there's no need for an independent counsel to be appointed. The White House certainly hopes so. There's a similar investigation targeted at Housing Secretary Cisneros, and an independent counsel is already on the job investigating former Agriculture Secretary Mike Espy, to say nothing of the counsel appointed to investigate President Clinton and the Whitewater land deal. Mark Knoller, CBS News at the White House.
Republicans in Congress have questioned whether Brown failed to disclose his business dealings and whether he evaded taxes or had a possible conflict of interest. The Commerce Department says the United States suffered its worst trade imbalance in history in 1994 as imports outpaced exports by more than $166 billion. In December, though, the trade gap fell sharply as import demand slowed. Economist Stephen Roach says it could be a sign of things to come.
In our trade balance, we had a very large gap last year, but through no fault of our own, our demand was strong and the rest of the world was weak. That's shifting, and our currency is competitive, our companies are competitive, and I think American-made goods are going to do very well overseas in 1995.
The dollar is lower in early currency trading, still under pressure as the result of concern that Mexico's financial crisis could hurt the United States. A report in the Detroit News says a brand of seatbelts found in millions of Japanese cars is under investigation by the government. It says the belts, installed in 1986 through 1991 models, made by several companies, could fail to hold in a collision. The FAA says a cargo plane that went down in Kansas City, killing all three people aboard, was operating without one of its four engines and was bound for Massachusetts for unspecified maintenance work. Airport witnesses could hear that the DC-8 was in trouble moments after takeoff.
And then a big explosion. Came outside and we saw a lot of flames.
The FAA's Sandra Campbell says the plane was in trouble from the start.
The aircraft got airborne, aborted takeoff, got airborne again, aborted takeoff a second time, and on aborting takeoff the second time, went down into flames.
The crash scattered wreckage over an area the size of two football fields. A published report says the state of Florida will sue cigarette manufacturers next week, seeking reimbursement for the public health costs of smoking-related illnesses. The Palm Beach Post says Governor Lawton Childs and state health officials expect to file suit seeking at least $1.43 billion. A memorial service is being held this morning at Washington's National Cathedral for retired Arkansas Senator J. William Fulbright, who died earlier this month at the age of 89. President Clinton, who considered Fulbright his friend and mentor, will deliver a eulogy. There's word in this morning from Lakeland, Florida, that Detroit Tigers manager Sparky Anderson has taken a leave of absence. Anderson had been balking at managing replacement players during the Major League players' strike, but it's not clear yet if that's the reason why he's taking that leave of absence. On Wall Street, after 30 minutes of trading, the Dow Industrial Average was down 12.78.